Let's take our Bibles, and I want you to turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs, chapter 28. Proverbs 28. Oh, what a precious book we've considered for these many years. I'd like to look at one verse, verse 18. Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. You know, I want to know something about what that scripture means, because it's saying whoso walketh uprightly, here's the words, shall be saved. I want to know something about that. You know, there's so much said in the scriptures about our walk. And we read it in the scriptures more than not. It means more than just that physical taking of steps. But it refers rather to the state of our soul before God. You know, if we'd read concerning 1 Samuel 8:3 concerning the sons of Samuel. Here's what it says about Samuel's boys. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes, and perverted judgment. Now when we read that, we know that the manner of their life, their attitude toward the things of this world in comparison to the things of God was not governed by a new heart. They sought after money. What's in it for me? Lucre. Things of this world. But if we read like in 2 Chronicles 17:3 concerning a king named Jehoshaphat, and the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, and then the Spirit of God tells us how we know that God was with Jehoshaphat. Because he walked in the ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam, religious deceitfulness, manipulation, trying to turn men from the Lord. It wasn't that the Lord was with him because he walked. No, he walked because the Lord was with him. Here's how we knew it. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat. How you know? Because he walked. The Lord turned his heart, made him to walk, made him willing in the day of God's power. So our passage today says, whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. Now, again, I want to know something about that. I know this concerning walking uprightly. I know that it doesn't mean, it can't mean, that we walk without sin. Because sin is present with us. The scripture says, 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say that we're walking without sin, you're deceived. If you think you're getting better, if you think you're getting better, now I'm not saying that we don't grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, but if you think you're getting better, sin is not with you as much. I've gotten to a point to where I know more and more and more, and I'm better. But you're deceived. The scripture says, Romans 7. Hold your place there and turn to Romans 7. I think we do so well. Go back to Romans 7 as often as we do and then some. Paul, speaking of himself, he said, Romans 7:15 to 17, For that which I do, I allow not. Well, in my margin, it says, I know. But I looked it up. I wanted to know a little bit more about what was he saying when he says, for that which I do, I allow not. It is, I know. But here's what he's saying. He said, my conduct is, and I got this out of Blue Letter Bible, just a dictionary. It says, inexplicable. My conduct is inexplicable. What does that mean? There's no honorable reason for me to do what I do, for me to act like it. There's no reason. No reason. There's no excuse. There's no excuse. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, I do not. But what I hate, what? Act in an inexplicable way. What I hate, that do I. That's what I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it's good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So I know that walking uprightly doesn't mean that I'm walking without sin, because sin is present with us. The Apostle Paul declared, I'm walking in a way, and I see in myself that which I hate. I hate it. But now, to understand what it is to walk uprightly, we're going to have to look and see what the Spirit of God has to say. Uprightly. Walking uprightly. That means proceeds complete, whole, entire, sound, unimpaired, innocent, and having integrity. Sounds like you're talking out of both sides of your mouth now, Marvin. No. Walking uprightly can only be applied to one in his own merit, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But what about me? What about me? What about my walking uprightly to be saved? If I know it's only applied to him, tell me something how I might be able to enter into that. Well, how can it be said that any man or any woman born in Adam then can be saved? If walking uprightly is the demand for acceptance with God to be saved, that's what it says. He that walketh uprightly shall be saved. Again, there's one way. God's sheep who possess no holiness or righteousness in themselves except that righteousness that's said to be filthy rags, God's people are accepted in the Beloved. In the Beloved. Being found in him. His righteousness charged to me, imputed to me. Listen to this. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. Walking after that false hope that the flesh gives, thinking that you've done something that God's going to accept. Let me tell you something. There's nobody in this congregation, especially this pastor, that has ever done anything of himself that God's going to accept. This is my beloved son. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. You hear him. You know what that means? That means if the Lord doesn't answer for me, I have no hope. None whatsoever. Those that are said to be walking uprightly are those who are the branches grafted in by the free grace of God into Christ himself. Ephesians 1 tells us, verse 4, before the foundation of the world, God chose a people and put them in his Son. He is their surety. He is their life. He is their redeemer. He's their priest. He's their Lord. He's their God. He's their king. And they have no confidence in themselves. If you're looking to something that you've done to be accepted of God, you have no hope. God Almighty must do something for me. So walking uprightly is not the cause of a believer's salvation, but rather the effect of it. Walking uprightly is a work of grace done for us. To walk by faith, trusting in Him as we're being led by God's Spirit. Walking, that's what He said. We talked about that a while ago. Walking, a man that walketh has a walk in his heart, not in his steps, but his manner of life inside, his attitude, trusting the Lord alone. Without me, he said, you can do nothing. Walking in the fear and the respect of Almighty God. And again, putting no confidence in you, none. Galatians 5 tells us something about ourselves. Hold your place. I'm going to come right back there for a few minutes. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17 says this. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you, listen to this, cannot do the things that you would. As sincerely as I know how to be, I wish I could walk in a way that would be totally acceptable to God. I wish I could. I would desire to, but I can't. I can't. The Lord said, without me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. Before salvation, after salvation, without me, you can do nothing. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, so that you, they're contrary. What does that mean? Now, I'm talking about walking uprightly now, and I'm going to come to a conclusion. This conclusion, I'm going to tell you right now, you can just turn over to Genesis 32 if you want to, and just hold your finger there, because I'm going to wrap this up in a second, and I'm going to tell you what it is to walk uprightly before God. Walking uprightly is a believer seeing, now this is walking uprightly. A believer knows something about himself. Now this is walking up. He trusts the Lord Jesus Christ for his life, for his hope, for his peace and acceptance with God. He trusts the Lord. But that believer, he sees two natures in him. Now this is a right walk. This is a right walk. It's a walk wherein he sees that in his flesh there dwelleth no good thing. Now you that know him, I'm going to tell you something. This is a right walk right here. You see in you, that is in your flesh, every believer knows something. Walking uprightly, he knows something about that constant struggle between that old man and the new man. That old man, this is what he that is walking uprightly knows. He knows he can't trust himself. He knows that. He knows that his only hope is in that God Almighty would have mercy on him. Lord, have mercy on me. I've told you how many times. What does mercy mean? It means I'm guilty. Have mercy on me. But that old man never misses an opportunity to resist the new man. Never misses an opportunity. This is inside of us. That new man never misses an opportunity to resist it. There's a battle. This is walking uprightly. That new man is constantly warring against the onslaught of rebellion against him. That old man hates the things of God. Somebody said, I don't hate the things of God. If the Lord's opened your eyes, you do. You know that in you, that is in your flesh, there dwells no good thing. You know, but you know this too. There's a new man there that loves him. Peter, lovest thou me more than these? After the Lord asked him that three times, what did Peter say? Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. You know I do. Feed my sheep. You give my sheep some comfort. You tell my sheep, those that are struggling, you tell them they're grass. You tell them that they're just the grass is fading. You tell them what they are. And you tell them who I am. And you tell them what I've done for them. One that walks uprightly, trusting only in the Lord, walks not in his own strength. He's a needy sinner. And he's constantly reminded of his weakness, of his flesh. Now turn with me. If you haven't done so before, turn now to Genesis 32. And I'm going to wrap this up. Genesis 32. This was a real blessing to me. I pray it will be to you. Genesis 32, verse 24. And I'm going to read through verse 31. Now here's a man that has been made to walk uprightly. Genesis 32, verse 24. Then Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. You know that man was none other, the angel of the covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, that is the angel of the covenant, the Lord, the man that was wrestling with Jacob, let me go, for the day breaketh. Here's Jacob's word. He said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Jacob knew, I can't let him go. And he said unto him, this is the Lord speaking to Jacob, what's your name? Here's what Jacob said. My name's Jacob. I'm a supplanter. I'm a heel catcher. I'm a trickster. I'm a needy sinner. That's what I am. And he said, that is Lord speaking, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. Jacob called the name of that place Peniel. For I've seen God face to face. My life is preserved. Here's something that a man's being taught. What's your name? I'm a huckster. No. By the grace of God, your name is Israel. For you've prevailed. How? In Jacob's strength? No. By the grace of God, God kept him. The scripture says, verse 31, and as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him. Now here is the walk of a man walking uprightly. Not without sin. Jacob knew what he was in himself. Not in his own power. He halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew that shrank. You want to know a man, a woman that's walking uprightly? One that's halting spiritually. Know it. They know. Almighty God been merciful to this sinner. He's given me life in Christ and made me to be what I couldn't be in myself. God's blessed me. kept me, shown me something of me. The scripture declares, chapter 28, verse 18, whoso walketh uprightly, now listen to this, shall be saved. I was saved, Pat. We're saved by the grace of God. Not of works. That's a man that walks uprightly. Not of works. Why? Because I'm going to boast in it. But he that is perverse, he that's crooked, perverted, distorted in his ways, in his path, direction, hath, course of life. He that is perverse in his ways, trusting in himself, trusting in his profession, trusting in his baptism, trusting in coming down the altar, trusting in walking down the aisle, trusting in anything but Christ. He that is perverse shall fall at once. He'll stand before God and he'll give every excuse in the world. Prophesied in your name. I cast out devils in your name. I never knew you. Oh, may the Lord teach us something about walking uprightly. Because if you think that walking uprightly is going to be something that you're going to glory in, you're sadly mistaken. Lord, bless these words to your holy name and our good. Amen. All right, let's take a few minutes break and we'll come right back.